So here we are on the second Sunday of Easter. Now, if you didn't know that Easter is actually a whole season, then surprise, Easter is not over yet. If you didn't get your Easter basket, it's not too late. The first Sunday of Easter is the one that gets all the fanfare. But Easter is a whole season that covers the 6 weeks between Easter Sunday and Pentecost. Our Easter sermon series this year is called Surprise, Signs and Wonders from Our Unpredictable God. And throughout this series, we're going to delve into the story of the early church as told to us in the Acts of the Apostles, or the Book of Acts. The Book of Acts was actually written by the same author as the Gospel of Luke. Acts is part two of the story that begins in Luke with a focus on the life and ministry of Jesus, and ends in Acts with a focus on the life and ministry of the early church. Luke wrote the Book of Acts to reassure his audience that the teachings handed down to them from the apostles were reliable and true. He was writing to Christian believers a generation or two removed from the first apostles, and he wanted to help these later generations see the link between their lives and the lives of the earliest believers. He wanted to help them remember the surprising and wondrous ways God had been at work in the earliest days of the church, and he hoped this would encourage them to keep their eyes open for the surprising and wondrous ways God was still working in the church through them. Now, when we read these stories almost 2,000 years later, we will do the same thing. We will look back at the surprising and wondrous ways God was at work in the church long ago, and we will keep our eyes open for the surprising and wondrous ways God might still be at work in us and in the church today. Now, before I share today's scripture reading, I want to say just a brief note about the relationship between the early followers of Jesus Christ and the religious leaders of the Jewish people. What we're going to hear today can easily be taken out of context and used to blame the Jewish people as a whole for the death of Jesus. We're going to hear Peter and the apostles accuse the Jewish council of having Jesus killed by hanging him on a tree. It's important to remember that the author of the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles is clear in both books about who killed Jesus. It wasn't the Jewish people. It was the Roman authorities. The Jewish people were under Roman occupation at the time. Jewish religious leaders did collude with Roman rulers to bring about Jesus' death, but that was a small group. That was not the Jewish people as a whole being responsible for Jesus' death. In fact, Jesus' first followers were Jews, and many of the people who joined the early church were Jews. In our own time, we see over and over again the damage that can be done when something is taken out of context and used to inflame divisions. So it's important to remember the original context as we hear this reading from Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. So listen now for the word of God. When they brought them, that being Peter and the apostles, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. And now we will sing again. Our hearts will sing out with joyful praise according to the title of our middle hymn. You will find this on the insert in the bulletin if you are here in the sanctuary. And again, if you're worshiping from home, the words will drop into the comments so that you can sing with us. From the sunrise service on Great Hill to the 10 o'clock service here in the sanctuary, it truly felt like Easter. It took my breath away to look out at all the faces in the pews, to feel the energy in the church, to hear the sound of so many voices raised in song, to enjoy our amazing choir and bell choir and the brass quartet as well. We had a big crowd worshiping with us online too. It was an amazing day. Going into last Sunday, though, I honestly had no idea what to expect. I was keeping my expectations low because we're still in the midst of a pandemic, because Easter Sunday was at the beginning of school vacation week, and because honestly, I didn't want to be disappointed. But people showed up. So many of you and you at home showed up. And God did too. God showed up in surprising and wondrous ways. The promise of new life was made real. Easter was truly amazing. Now on Easter, we get to celebrate what might be the biggest surprise the world has ever known. After Jesus was arrested, tortured, condemned, and killed, his burial seemed to be the end of the story. But then he surprised everyone. He defeated death and emerged from the tomb and changed the course of human history forever. Jesus' resurrection surprised even his closest followers. Think back to Holy Week. Jesus' disciples were horrified by watching what happened to their beloved teacher and friend, and they were terrified that staying close to him might mean the same thing could happen to them. So they scattered. They deserted Jesus in order to protect their own safety. And Peter, he tried to have it both ways. He tried to slink off into the shadows where he thought he could go unnoticed while still keeping an eye on Jesus. But people recognized him, and they asked him if he knew Jesus, and he denied it three times, just as Jesus had predicted he would. So it's pretty surprising to find Peter boldly preaching about Jesus when we meet up with him in today's scripture reading. The passage we read earlier is a small piece of a larger story that takes up most of Acts chapter 5. The story begins with a summary of the apostles' work in Jerusalem. They had been doing lots and lots of signs and wonders. They were healing lots and lots of people who were sick and suffering. Lots and lots of believers were added to the Lord through them and their work. It was all pretty amazing. And it was also pretty threatening to the Jewish religious leaders of the time. So the high priest had the apostles arrested and thrown into prison, but that night an angel went to the apostles, opened their prison doors, and commanded them to return to the temple to preach. So that is exactly what they did. The next morning, Peter and the other apostles went back to the temple and started teaching again. Now that was a bold move. They had been arrested by the high priest, and then they returned to the temple to preach. They returned to the public center of religious activity and did again what they had originally been arrested for doing. Instead of scattering, instead of slinking off into the shadows, Peter and and the others were faithful in doing what God had called them to do this time around. That's how the very same Peter who denied even knowing Jesus found himself boldly preaching about Jesus, refusing this time to be silent. Of course, the apostles were arrested yet again and brought before the council of Jewish leaders. In our reading today, we heard the accusation the high priest made against the apostles and the response they made in return. Peter and the apostles were clear that they had to bear witness to what they had seen. They could not keep silent about the surprise of Jesus' resurrection. They could not keep silent about the good news of new life. They could not keep silent about the signs and wonders of God. But that is quite a turnaround, isn't it? It's quite a turnaround for Peter to go from fearful denial to faithful discipleship. It is quite a turnaround to go from fleeing from the foot of the cross to standing in the center of the temple, publicly proclaiming the story of the resurrection. It seems that Peter has learned his lesson, though. He's learned that God can surprise him in wondrous ways. And Peter's story reinforces that lesson for us. Because God surprises us by taking Peter's fear and transforming it into faith. Now, there has been so much fear in our lives over the past 2 years. Living through an unprecedented global pandemic will do that to you. There is still so much fear that lingers as we try to figure out what life will look like on the other side of the pandemic, and that fear has crept into conversations about the future of the church, too. Now, not necessarily the future of this church, but the future of the church in general. I'm part of many different Facebook groups for clergy, groups that are narrow and specific to our denomination, the United Church of Christ, and groups that are much broader, even including clergy outside the Christian tradition as well. Everyone is trying to figure out what religious community is going to look like as we emerge from the pandemic. Everyone. So if you have been wondering what our church will look like a month from now, or a year from now, or 10 years from now, you are not alone. So many people are afraid that one of the things we might have lost during the pandemic is the ability for churches to grow and thrive. If you have that fear, you are not alone. But in those moments of deep fear, I want you to think back to last Sunday. Has our church changed over the past 2 years? Of course it has. Will we ever go back to what church life was like before the pandemic? I honestly don't know. But last Sunday, we saw that people are still hungry for good news. People are still hungry for new life. People are still hungry for the energy that comes from being in community and the sound that comes from voices raised in song and the joy that comes from worshiping our God together. People are still hungry for the surprising and wondrous ways God shows up here at Old South. So here is our challenge this Easter season. Our challenge is to keep our eyes open for the surprising and wondrous ways God is still at work in us and in this church today. Our challenge is to see what God is up to and to bear witness to it, to tell others about it. Our challenge is to boldly proclaim the good news of new life. Our challenge is to refuse to be silent about the transforming love of our God. Our challenge is to let people who are hungry for the energy that comes from being in community, people who are hungry for the sound that comes from voices raised in song, people who are hungry for the joy that comes from worshiping our God together, our challenge is to let those people know that this is a place they can feed that hunger. Because Old South Union Church is alive and kicking. Our challenge is to let God take all of our fear and transform it into faith so that we can continue to be a place where God shows up in beautiful, wondrous, life-giving ways. What a joy it will be to see God's signs and wonders together. Amen. And now we get to experience again the joy of voices raised in song for our closing.